I need to get a little ring bell, a little mini ring bell here to signify the beginning of this match. That's right, prime up, baby. Prime time for wrestling. Because, folks, welcome to the Power Bombcast. I'm your host, Jan Ochoa. Ding, ding, ring the bell. We've got the master of minutes himself. He's always on time. He's going to slam you through several clocks. Which one am I talking about? I'm talking about Jeff Grubb.
Howdy, yeah. Boys, I'm primed up. Although I did just run out. I'm going to order some more right now. I have it delivered to my face.
I just ordered $85 worth of strawberry watermelon, strawberry banana, and grape. I haven't tried any of those.
Wait. Okay, so do you think I can find those in stores, or are they that rare where it's
I've looked in every 7-Eleven. I've looked in every CVS and Walgreens across this great nation. Yes. I have looked at Costco. I have looked at Target. And the ones you will find regularly are blue, green, and red. Those are all over the place. You got to go into the occasional side alley or whatever to find some Meta Moon or some Ice Pop or things like that. But you can find those. I have not seen these three flavors anywhere but Amazon.
All right. I will walk the earth until I can find them, or yes, I'll get on Amazon as well.
Yes, yes.
We got the most hydrated man in games media across the internet. Dan Reichert.
That's me. Hello. Hi, Jan.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm feeling a little worse for wear. It's a good way to start a good episode in a new era of this podcast.
We're in the new era.
I was literally just laying in a bed with a hot towel across my face and taking a hot shower, trying to breathe before this podcast.
So, the 5 minutes between the last show and this one, I was like, I'll go get water. And then I laid down and I didn't want to get back up.
but you know, just like a good underdog story, the Power Bombcast persists. I'm going to be honest with you, boys. Every time I type Power Bombcast, for whatever reason, I'm half tempted, or my mind starts typing Power Bottomcast. And that's a very different show.
Somebody explained that to me on a podcast recently.
It's
a
similar show.
It's a sex thing.
Yeah.
It could be a sex thing. It could be a way of life, just like wrestling is a way of life.
Sure.
Yes. Folks, if you're tuning in live and expecting Bombcast for Vengeance, we're trying something new here. We're going to try and alternate weeks between BCR and the Power Bombcast. As you're listening right now, the feed has not been separated, so you can still find episodes in the Giant Bomb Presents feed. But hopefully after this, everything is up and running and that the RSS feeds are aligned that you can subscribe to the Power Bombcast on a whole completely separate feed. But as we're rolling right now, we got a small run of show. We're going to talk about wrestling. We talk about wrestling everywhere on this website. Dan and I were like shooting the shit, straight shooting with each other, and we thought, let's make a more consistent wrestling containment zone. Wrestling's hot right now.
And we are going to get in trouble if we bring up wrestling outside of this zone. So we got to be careful. So
that's right.
No, we're still going to talk about wrestling everywhere else. But
the explosive collars will go off. But we like that.
Yeah.
On the Power Bombcast.
Yes. Jeff Grubb, I don't think I've gotten to hear what you thought about WrestleMania or your feelings on WrestleMania. Did you watch both nights? Did you watch them with the Menottis?
I watched night two with the Menottis. Yes, then that was a very good time. Mike didn't order enough pizza, and there was a lot of fighting.
God damn it!
It was a scary time. I got out of there barely at the skin of my teeth. But no, it was a lot of fun. We hung out, and it was I enjoyed myself that part of it, especially WrestleMania. Though I thought was pretty good. I did watch both nights. I think overall, night one was pretty good. And I liked several of the matches, and then night two, I thought things mostly delivered, and I'm happy with it. I think I'm at the point where I kind of understand like what Triple H goes for with his booking, and I'm never in love with it in the big shows, but it's not the end of the world. The final match for me, I'm like, I expected kind of it to go the way it did. It just was like I was kind of hoping they would have some more like pathos in the way it all worked instead of just here's a big star showing up again because it's the biggest match, so we're gonna have a big star show up. Not that it didn't work for me. I still thought that stuff was great. But overall, it's like I a little sloppy here and there, but I really enjoyed it.
Grubb, how did it play on camera or at least on Peacock when the Shield music hit in the main event for night two? Because when it happened in the stadium, everyone's eyes were scanning around. I think I looked at Dan and said, there's no fucking way Moxley's here, right?
Right. I think even when the music was going on, we were all like looking to ourselves, like just conferring to one another, like, no, obviously it's not Moxley. And everyone's like immediately like, yeah, no, of course it's not. But then it was weird because on TV, I felt like the camera also wasn't quite sure where he was coming from. There was a confusion there for a second. So that was like one of the sloppy moments. And that, honestly, that's a lot of like what happened throughout the weekend is there was a lot of, I mean, this is pretty typical for WWE, but I felt it was especially bad here. A lot of like cutting away from the action right when something is about to happen to go to something else that's happening at the same time where the action is kind of like dropped off. So just like weird direction on that front. And then moments like that where it's like, oh, what is happening? I can't quite tell. But then, you know, you see Seth and it's like, okay, I get it really quickly once the visual's up on the screen.
Sure. How was, as someone who watched the Peacock version, I heard some friends complaining about the Punk commentary. Did you find that abrasive or what did you think?
I thought Punk was okay on commentary. Like, it wasn't the worst. Honestly, I mean, I thought, what's his name?
McAfee?
McAfee's kind of, he's in a rut for me when it comes to commentary. Where,
really?
It's a lot of poor timing. A lot of just the joke about the way John Madden would talk about football on Monday Night Football, where he's like, you got to score to win the game. It's stuff like that, but like worse and like more surface level and less interesting and a lot of shouting. And I think there was a point on Raw, I think, where Jade Cargill was coming out and McAfee was just like motor mouthing and just wouldn't stop. And, you know, clearly McAfee's in his like heel moment. So this was part of that. But they're like, just, hey, you could shut up. You could just shut up. You don't have to talk all the time. And McAfee got quiet for quite some time after that. Like it like actually hurt. Like he was shoot hurt or something.
Oh.
So it was that he was way more noticeably bad to me than CM Punk was.
Okay. Interesting.
Any other highlights from Mania weekend, Grub? How is witnessing Mike Menotti consume a long boy?
Yeah, that was I'm disappointed in him. We got that long boy for him. I say we, his brother ordered it unbeknownst to all of us, but I had a feeling that that's what was happening. And it shows up and he bites it and I don't think he gave it a real fair shot. So he says it tastes like meat dust, which is not wrong, but meat dust can be good.
It's a meat tube.
Well, meat tube, once you start chewing it, though, the way it like falls apart can have like
it's
a particle.
Cotton candy. It's like meat cotton candy.
Meat cotton candy is pretty on point there. So yeah, I'm disappointed in him, to be fair. Yeah.
Did you catch the guy on cam in the long boys section just going to town on those long boys?
Oh, we saw that. Absolutely. I think that's what inspired us to order some long boys.
It was inspiring was the word I would use.
Yes. Yeah, he was throat goating that thing.
I just love how the cameraman panned to him or across to him.
Yeah, I'm dipping.
Instead of just pointing the camera down or whatever, he still needs to get the shot of everyone else to join the long boys, so he just went back.
Yeah,
I think he was like, it would look weirder if I like looked away, like looked straight up. But no, we could all just still see that guy put it down his throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grub, for you watching the Peacock stream, there was a lot of ad placement other than, you know, the giant Prime logo on the mat.
Yeah.
Like dude wipes, Wingstop.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yes. Was it distracting at all while you were watching the product?
Yeah, it was a little bit more so than in the past, right? And this is like the most egregious it's ever been, right? Yeah. Like I'm like I watch a lot of shoot sports and they can kind of get like overbearing with the advertisement sometimes, but this felt like even like a step beyond any of that. It was really in your face, and I thought that I did occasionally find it distracting, and I think I also think I'm someone who has a pretty high tolerance for that.
Sure.
Where I'm like, this is not going to bother me too much. And it's like, oh, dude wipes, that's a funny, those are funny words. I can be down with that. Hopefully they have some fun with that. And they try, and then Pat McAfee's like, he's like, if you use dude wipe, it's with shit on it. I'm like, okay, Pat, please just calm down.
This may shock you, but I'm in favor of the constant advertisements. One, because it's just like, obviously, like, why wouldn't you do that? It's just free money and a lot of money. And the other is, when I go back and I watch old wrestling, or if I'm listening to like a Deadlock retro review or something,
this is
part of the joy is like when they're running down they're watching every segment, they're like, all right, this Raw is brought to you by PlayStation 3, the Baconator, and the JBC Kaboom Box. Like, it almost is kind of a timestamp where when I go back, you know, 10 years from now and watch this, it's like gonna make me laugh that it's dude wipes and Wingstop and maybe a bunch of companies that aren't around anymore. Like, there's like a weird nostalgia about Stacker 2 and Lugs and all that stuff. So like, I'm all for it.
Yes, I think there is an artistry to it a little bit, I think. I don't think that this was this didn't quite embrace that.
Yeah.
But still, I'm with you. I'm mostly with you on that, Dan.
There's definitely artistry with Taz playing Final Fantasy X2, and Yuna's my favorite, brudda.
Well, yeah. juicy, flavorful, the Skittles.
Yes, yeah, pretty delicious. Yes, of course.
Pretty delicious.
Yeah, gotta love the glove. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I know that. I think I saw a headline roaming around that WWE wants to get away from the AR stuff, which I personally don't mind.
Yeah, it's bad.
You don't mind the AR stuff, or you don't mind them going away from it?
I don't mind them going away from it.
Okay, ejaculating Roman thing. Yeah. I don't ever want to see that again.
They got their money's worth out of the ejaculating Roman. We need to get away from that.
Lips with a ponytail.
Yes, it's so weird.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to replace that with, like, I know Becky Lynch walked through an AR book, but if she's walking through an AR, like, I don't know, Slurpee, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. Introduce the AR to ads.
Yeah, okay, I'd be fine with that.
You know, that'd be cool.
A Prime Cannon truck.
Oh, my God, right. The Prime Cannon truck. I thought we were going to get a, like, milk truck spot. I'm a little bit disappointed.
Oh, yeah. I did like Kevin Owens telling a truck to suck it.
That was pretty fun. Yeah, yeah.
Wrestling's really good.
Dan, do you have any other expanded thoughts from our time at Mania other than, Chicky and Pete's? What was it called?
Oh, Chicky and Pete's, the crab fries. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Chicky and Pete crab fries. What they had the crab, was it the crab wagon, the patty crabbin? What was it called?
So Grub, for context here, the only thing that Dan and I ate when we watched SmackDown and Raw, because it was at the Wells Fargo Center in Philly, were these crab fries. And they didn't contain any crab, as far as I know.
No.
Hell yeah. Crab seasoning.
But like
so not even like imitation fish or anything like that.
No. Just like kind of like a Cajun-ish.
It was Old Bay. It was like Old Bay,
I think. Pretty much Old Bay, like Zataran type of stuff.
Old Bay seasoning. Totally.
And then right next to it in like small red letters was like high sodium warning. And I was like, fuck yeah, Philly, let's
It, like,
go.
Legally had a disclaimer. It's like, this is going to fuck you up.
That
like, you
rules.
Want it. Yeah, and we got extra cheese.
Yeah, of course.
For it.
That's what you do. You traveled here. You earned that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Is this something that you think you would try to, like, make at home? Or is it, like, a decadent thing that's like, oh, I can only do this if WWE is serving it to me?
I think I only want it in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Sure.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. Along with we had several cheesesteaks, and those were very good.
Yeah. That video is still coming, folks. Big Philly style. Grub, if I say big Philly style to you,
yeah.
Is that a thing?
No, not necessarily.
No?
Although I'm like, big Philly style. Like, if I think about it, I'm like, that probably means. A Philly cheesesteak, like a long boy Philly cheesesteak with lots of extra cheese on it and stuff. I don't know, but
yeah, I said it on one of the first days we were there, and I was like, that has to be a thing, right? And maybe I'm just thinking of Big Willie style, the Will Smith album.
And we all are,
but someone had to have used. No, I'm not the first person to think of Big Philly style,
right? Yeah,
well, no
way. There's been like a Subway promotion from 2003 or something, right?
Okay, no, all right. No, actually, I think you lost me. Okay, wait.
Why is
this such a self-evident thing to you? What is it about the three words, big Philly style?
Because it sounds so good.
Yeah, it sounds so good. It sounds like a thing that people have been saying for decades.
Okay.
I mean, I did Google it. There are things, but it doesn't seem... Wait. Is there a cheesesteak called the big... Okay. I'm on a cheesesteak blog, betterthangenos.tumblr.com.
Okay.
And it has to be on here. Big Philly. Yes. Okay. There's a Big Philly style sandwich at Nano Brew in Cleveland, Ohio. So if you want to get a Big Philly style.
I will go get the Big Philly style
full circle,
and I will report
baby.
Back.
Wow. Absolutely. It's got onions, okay. Poblanos, steak sauce, mushrooms on a Cuban roll.
Say it again. What's the name of the place?
I already closed the tab. So I just
okay. Well, Mike says he knows the place. So all
okay.
Right,
okay.
We'll head there.
Okay. All right.
I will get it, and I will FaceTime with Jason Finelli while I eat.
And you have to say Big Philly style a bunch.
Of
hey,
course, Big Philly style.
By the way, I'm really upset, not hell upset, but sad that we didn't get to see Jason Finelli's tailgate. Shouts out to Jason Finelli. What a guy he is, huh?
He was fantastic,
He's a good dude.
We saw him backstage at the 2K thing, and he was talking about how he wanted to meet Jade Cargill, who was like, hanging out around there, and we left, and like 2 seconds later we see him post on like me and Jade Cargill. I was like, all right, you got it done.
Yep.
Got
it. Hell yeah, done. Make it happen. That was one of my big takeaways for the weekend is Jade Cargill is absolutely amazing. And the other big takeaway is Drew McIntyre's maybe like keeps moving up in my favorites. Yeah. The moment.
I think so too.
Did you guys like get that moment when he got on the phone and tweeted in the middle of the match?
Yes, so good.
Yeah. Just a great move. Just a great spot. Like, and it's like it played really well on TV. We were a little bit behind. And so I saw the tweet first. And I'm like, well, look at that. He must be tweeting before he's like going on or something. And then we saw it happen. I'm like, oh my God, that's it. That's so great. So it like really hit for me. I really enjoyed that. So just his, everything he's doing, all the poking at CM Punk is so smart and like to like precision strikes on him that really works. So just everything he does is working for me. And his contract is up at the end of May.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wonder if he's gonna like wait around for more money.
It's good timing to suddenly get way better. Like he was always good and always very talented. But like how often is that you're watching like a veteran that's I've been watching him for like 15 years and suddenly for him to just find a character, I'm not gonna say this late in the game because he's not that old, but like this far into his career and suddenly just like something clicks in and it took a bit, but holy shit did he find it.
Yeah, yep. And I'm a 3MB apologist. I really enjoyed the three-man band, but to see Drew McIntyre not necessarily bounce back, but like kind of reinvent himself completely outside of the WWE, and then when he came back, he just felt like a completely different person in just like physique-wise, everything, character.
He's one of those guys that looks big on TV, but when you see him around like civilians, like there were a couple times he came into the office in Stanford when I was there and he's standing around a bunch of like video editors and podcast producers. And it's like, oh, you're the biggest person I've ever seen in my life. Like,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Like he looks big next to big wrestlers, but you put him next to any of us and holy shit, he's a monster. Yeah, okay.
So that going back to Jade Cargill, that kind of happened. So, during media day, where it was the weirdest radio row ever.
Yeah, for a few reasons.
For several reasons, right, yeah. As soon as Jade Cargill walked in the room, there was like a hush that fell upon the crowd and like an awe that happened. And it was just like genuine starstruck that happened.
And even in, like, there are a lot of wrestlers around, and wrestlers are all, for the most part, striking-looking human beings. This happened backstage at the 2K thing, too.
Yeah.
Tons of wrestlers were around. She walks into a room, and everyone around is like, holy shit, what the fuck? Yeah. Like,
if there's something, like, in my brain that's like, a person cannot look like this. This is unbelievable. I cannot process that someone is this beautiful, that yoked, and in such a like just a perfect way, sculpted by gods. It's like my brain can't process it.
Also, she was great. We did an interview that'll be in the video coming out. She was incredibly nice. She was a great interview and everything. But it wasn't just for media day. I was behind her in security at the airport the next day.
Oh,
and there was like an old man who definitely didn't look like a wrestling mark or anything. And she turned around and just started up a conversation with him, being like super duper nice and everything, like not trying to like win points with the media or whatever. Just some old guy in line. And she was being like, she's awesome.
That's nice to hear. That's really sweet.
Yep.
Yeah. WWE really has something special with Jade because like I when Dan and I met her, very sweet, very willing to play ball with the questions that we asked. It was speaking about questions. Dan, you and I stayed up the night before because we kind of had like a list of the wrestlers that would be there, and we were kind of worried about like, all right, well, we want to maximize our time with each of them. So we had a list, and then we wound up coming up with questions for these
people. That wasn't the first idea. The first idea, right, okay. Was we need something we can repeat for everyone in case they have someone like, oh, I don't know, we don't have a lot of questions for like Roxanne Perez or something. We need something that we can just use for anyone they throw in front of us. And we decided the best course of action would be to buy catchphrase. What was the other one?
We bought a
bop and a yo-yo
and a yo-yo.
Yes. And so for any of the wrestlers, we can just be like, hey, you got a very stressful weekend coming up. Would you like to see how far we can get in catchphrase together as a team? Would you like to see how far you can get in bop it? Or would you like to just show us some yo-yo tricks? And so Jan brings a backpack full of these three things. Wind up not using any of them because we came up with actual questions for everyone.
Yeah, but also we saw how the interview was formatted and that like you had to line up per wrestler and that like all these people are taking their job very seriously because... Sure.
Especially Bill Apter. Yeah.
It's my best friend, Bill Apter.
Yeah.
I should have introduced myself as Jan Tripod Ochoa. Sorry.
That's correct.
Dan and I suddenly thought, like, well, maybe we shouldn't pull out a Bop It catchphrases and a yo-yo.
It was such a like long line to wait for everyone. Like, I waited in line with Jan for like 45 minutes to get to AJ Styles, and we'll get to what happened there. But if we had pulled out a fucking Bop It and everyone, the people behind us, have been waiting an hour, we would have gotten our asses kicked.
Oh,
instead,
sure.
I go up to AJ Styles after waiting 45 minutes, and he throws a chair at LA Knight, and they get into a fight. So, and then I don't get an interview.
I'm like surprised they didn't like use any of that footage in like the promo, like in leading up to the fight. I was like expecting to see you guys pop up on WrestleMania, and they're just like, no, this is just what we do. We're still working. Probably, like, what was the energy about all that?
Probably just something for social, get people like some last minute, okay. Like, oh, these guys hate each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dan, I had quite a struggle finding a screwdriver because catchphrases needed batteries, and it had like a screwdriver door. So I ran to the 7-Eleven across from the hotel that Media Day was taking place at. I asked the guy at 7-Eleven, like, hey, man, do you sell a screwdriver? And he looks at me, smiles like, brother, we don't sell screwdrivers here at 7-Eleven. Let me look around for one. He opens like a junk drawer full of who knows what, and he pulls out a tiny one and is like, will this do you, brother? I'm like, yeah, that'll work. I just need it for like a second, and then I'll give it right back. And he goes like, nah, man. You can have this screwdriver. And then I'm like, okay, like
Philly style.
Like,
right?
Do you have Venmo? Can I like pay you for this? And he goes like, all I need to see is a smile.
Really big Philly style.
So I'm like, all right, Philadelphia. That's great.
That's what I believe that's defined as brotherly love right there.
I think so. But Dan, should we read off some of the questions that we had painstakingly prepared?
Oh, sure. Well, here, I got the doc up here. So we had Damian Priest, and I was like, oh, how can I ask Damian Priest? And then I remember I was supposed to do a podcast with him when I was at WWE. No, I was supposed to do a podcast with Shane McMahon, and I'd done the pre-interview with Shane and everything, and then we're waiting like 5 minutes before he's supposed to join the Zoom. Shane McMahon calls me, and he's like, hey, sorry, there's something about his kid in football practice or soccer practice or something like sports emergency with one of his three kids or whatever. And so I was like, shit. And so I got Corey Graves and Vic Joseph in the Zoom call. I was like, Shane just canceled. And so Vic Joseph just calls Damian Priest. He's such a trooper, just comes in the last second, but then just talked about weapons the entire time on the podcast. And he was sitting in front of like a bunch of samurai swords and shurikens and stuff. And so I just wanted to ask him a bunch of questions about his weapon collection. So, you know, most recent one you bought, home invasion situation. He wakes up in the middle of the night. What's he grabbing?
Oh,
favorite
man.
Fictional weapon in a movie. Would you enjoy being the new Steve Blackman? Things like that. But we did not get Damian Priest. We learned Finn Balor was in a faction once called CTU. So I was going to ask him if that was at all related to Jack Bauer and the CTU from 24. I was going to ask him if Too Sweeting has peaked. He's getting into homemade smoothies lately. So we're going to see if Finn has different tastes in smoothies than the Demon, or if they're doing the same stuff.
Ask him about the Ninja Creamy, man.
Right. We could ask about the Ninja Creamy. Shouts out to Chef Reactions.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Jeez. I was going to ask him also about, what a rat weekend looks like for him after I just had a rat
good
weekend.
Good question.
Did not get him though, but I did ask Jade Cargill about, what a rat weekend is for her. And
I'm excited about that.
Believe it or not, she doesn't really allow herself to have many of
those. Weird.
That video is coming. AJ, I was going to shoot the shit with him about video games. He's always good for that. I was going to ask him to compare his Mount Rushmore wrestling games to ours that we came up with. And a fun one for AJ, if he had not gotten into a fight with LA, I said, okay, you were the Undertaker's opponent for his last match. It was a very fitting final match for his character, the Boneyard match. So I'm going to name some wrestlers, and I want to hear what their version of the Boneyard match would be and how you lose, like how you help these wrestlers have their last match in a fitting gimmick cinematic match. Kane, you could obviously say, you know, easy, oh, it's a fire, Hellfire and Brimstone match, Inferno match, whatever. Boogeyman, see what he comes up with there. Duke the Dumpster Drossy. Imagine it would involve getting thrown in the garbage. Shark Boy and fun. Curry Man. So I was going to see what he would do with any of that. Dakota and EO. I was going to ask about Otis calling her Leo Shirai, which is very funny. And I was going to get her to shit on John Blood. We talked to Carmelo Hayes. That should be in the video. Oh, LA Knight. I was going to see if you know, I was going to say, you got the word yeah over like crazy. You know, you can get one word over like crazy. So I was going to see if he could make these one word things sound cool and see if he could work it into a promo. Swag, we said.
Yeah.
Goober, sourdough, gack, and sploosh.
I could hear him saying all of those in really cool ways.
Yeah, sploosh at the end of a sentence, like a punctuation. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. You goober.
Yeah. When you went to AJ Styles' house, were you at all concerned he might have an elaborate Home Alone situation set up?
Damn it.
I was going to give him alternate city / chess piece names to see if he liked them. There was a DC Bishop, there was KC King, and the Roanoke Rook.
I think he would have liked the Roanoke Rook.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, we work at a video game website. Can you cut a promo as Mario? And I was going to say, you don't do the impression. Just, you are Mario and you need to go up against Bowser. You're cutting a promo on Bowser. If you can work in a It's-a-me, a Wahoo, and a Let's-a-go into the promo, that'd be great. Did not get that. Rey Mysterio, we were going to ask him if he kicked Dom off the family Netflix account. yeah, so that's a sampling of what we had.
We Dan and I were at a bar, like, just like hammering away at these, and we would like high five after every good question. And we didn't get to ask these because AJ Styles
got into a fight.
Do you think that was just AJ Styles being like, I want to take a break, and so I'll just get in a fight, and then I'll have to go get medical attention?
Well, yeah, because like for the 45 minutes that Dan and I were waiting, people were still interviewing AJ Styles, and then prior to that even.
Yeah, it was very weird when I approached, because like I've interviewed AJ before and met him and stuff, and like he's a good interview. He's very good at this. And as I'm walking up to him to like, you know, hand him the mic and stuff, he's just not even looking at me. He's just like, before he says anything, he's just staring. And I'm like, what the fuck's going to do? I'm just going to stand back. He seems to not be paying attention to me right now. I'll wait for him.
Yeah.
And then he just goes, oh, you're going to put this douchebag next to me? And I was like, what? And I look over and it's the LA Knight. I was like, oh, they're working. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see it right now. That's when I just kind of backed up and Jan started recording.
Yeah, I thought he was like joking around with you at first, and then I noticed, oh, okay, LA Knight. LA Knight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and we've mentioned it several times, but poor Roxanne Perez next to us did not know what was happening and had to quickly get out of her seat.
I don't think many people in that room got the Iggy before it happened, so I think it was just like three people knew about it.
I think one of the TKO people was legitimately trying to call security.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was getting worked.
Yeah, yeah. And I think somebody came in like, kayfabe, brother, we're good.
and then I just remember another panicked TKO person going like, has anyone seen LA's glasses? We can't find LA's glasses. Yes. But yes, that was WrestleMania weekend. I enjoyed it. Very, very overbooked main events, but I really liked it. The thing that I remember from the weekend the most in terms of wrestling, though, is The Rock's very weird sexual promo with Cody Rhodes on Raw.
The Rain one, or which one are you talking? Oh, the one afterwards. The one after like, Mania. They're like, oh, can I hold it? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, this
is awkward chant. Yeah. Which was correct. Yeah, it was a little bit awkward. I think it played a little bit better on TV, probably. But even then, it was still a little weird.
Yeah.
That was strange.
I took the this is awkward thing as like not a negative, not like bad awkward.
This is
supposed to be awkward, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right, exactly. Yes, that's probably correct.
Yeah. My assumptions so far were not correct. I had assumed that The Rock had handed Cody Rhodes a little Tamatonga, and that's why he was so upset of like, oh my God, it's another person in the bloodline here in my little hand.
I heard somebody say that like, oh, what if it was a lighter because, you know, Cody's bus had just caught on fire. But like by the time they pay that off, it's like no one's going to remember that like tweet about his bus catching fire, you know?
They never showed a bus catching fire,
no, right,
as far as I know. Okay, cool. The other thing I'd like to mention about WWE is I have been very impressed with some of the camera work that they've been doing.
It's good
I don't
stuff.
Know if y'all caught that transition before Sammy entered of Jey Uso walking out the arena,
It
following him, and then coming back to Sammy, them having a little thing. And then going out, oh my God.
Getting a lot of these Boogie Nights intro shots lately.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how they're going to switch it up because I saw that AEW was also trying to incorporate like these longer takes of like a Steadicam
roaming
through.
Yeah, but the AEW, theirs is not the Verizon steady cam with the steady internet connection.
Right, it's the Woo Mushroom Energy steady cam, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Of course, of course. Yeah. So speaking about AEW, a couple things have happened in AEW. More specifically, AEW choosing to air the behind the scenes footage, the background footage, security cams of CM Punk getting into a fight with Jack Perry. I just want to get a quick pulse check of why.
It was petty. It was weird. It was unnecessary. It doesn't do anything to help the company. It's I hope that's the last of that we see. It's yeah, I mean, people were quick to jump to conclusions, stuff about like Shivani and stuff, and like, you know, side by sides of him and WCW 2000 stuff, and he, you know, I appreciate him coming out and be like, no, dumbasses, I was selling the fact that they're heels and I don't like their actions or whatever. But, like, I don't know. It doesn't make the idea that, like, storyline-wise, it doesn't make any fucking sense to show that. Yeah. Like, oh, what was he saying? Jungle Boy did Jack that to Perry. Distract them from FTR yeah. or something? But also, there are backstage fights 80 times per wrestling episode. So yes. In the kayfabe of this universe, why is this noteworthy? You know, how many times has someone been thrown into some clangy poles and then, you know, right. Rhea Ripley and Liv or whatever? It's like... To the average person, like, I just feel like it has to be so alienating to the average person who just tunes in, you know, after sure. the Big Bang Theory or whatever, and is like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, this guy that's not on the show anymore, two guys that aren't on the show anymore, and how does this play into the ladder match? Like, I don't know. It's just, it's stupid.
Yeah, it was sad. I thought it was kind of sad that they, like, it just felt a little pathetic, and then I didn't appreciate it, because what it really does is it creates this environment on social media where... everyone gets to be like, the thing I thought happened was happening, this proves me right, and we're going to argue about that now. And it's like, oh my God, you got just this the community around it. And a lot of that is like bad faith fans who are like,
sure.
don't like AEW. And they're like, oh, see, this is CM Punk telling the truth. I'm like, was that the point? I thought he choked a man. I thought that was the point. But whatever, at this point, I don't care. I just want it to be over. I just wish you all would stop like making this the focus. And I can't blame you. When AEW themselves are bringing it back into focus. At that point, it's not on them anymore. I hate that environment that happens around it, though.
Yeah, and both things can be true, that Punk is a dick, and this is also a stupid thing to air on television.
100%, and I think both things are 100% true. It was a dumb thing to bring back up.
Yeah, and then what you wind up getting is further confusion from the fans, and then just kind of increasing and playing into that tribalism, and I think they just... wind up getting like negative effects from that, because you just have people now chanting CM Punk on the AEW show.
Yeah, this thing that haunted WWE for a fucking decade, and now you deal with it.
Yep, it's the kind of thing that people who couldn't even run a Target would do, in my opinion. I think so. The last thing, I did think that the heat that Jack Perry was able to get in Chicago was kind of fun. I still think it's a pretty bad idea to make your whole thing being like CM Punk doesn't like me and
when there's
he works
no payoff.
At another company now.
There's no payoff there.
There's no payoff, right? But for getting people worked up at a house, or it wasn't for a show, whatever the fuck that show was.
New Japan.
I thought that was, it was New Japan. I'm like, that's fine for like a New Japan show where you're trying to make people think that you're a heel in Chicago. That worked for me enough.
Yeah, and like I understand that Jack Perry may be over with the Chicago crowd, but then you can only go to tour in Chicago so many times. Like when Jack Perry eventually does come out on AEW television to come back as like this scapegoat character that he's been doing, or however he's going to pop up. Maybe in this weekend's pay-per-view, is that same reaction going to be there? Because it's been now or a couple weeks or a couple days removed from like the backstage footy. It's not in Chicago. Is that going to happen? Is he going to be able to maintain this heat? Because on AEW, at least, I think it looks bad on Tony Khan's part. For Jack Perry, I hope he can build something from this.
I mean, I haven't seen the stuff he's done in New Japan. I mean, has he worked matches or?
Yeah, like, he's worked matches. He's joined a stable.
Yeah, okay. If it leads to a meaningful character evolution, then sure. Because I think he definitely needed that. I mean,
yes. If that's what I feel like is happening, that's why I'm like, I'm kind of okay with that.
And yeah, I'm willing to see where it goes for sure. And yeah, if he does follow him to AEW, like see if he shows up on Sunday in the ladder match.
Yes, yes. And speaking about Sunday, AEW's Dynasty is happening. Is this a reference to like an old wrestling thing, or are they just calling it Dynasty?
I think it's just a cool sounding word.
Dynasty is a cool sounding word.
Yeah.
I have the card here, and admittedly, I've not been staying super up to date with everything popping off in AEW. I thought we'd just get a quick lightning round in terms of who we think is going to win, and also just finding out what's on the card. We have starting, I think this may, yes, this is actually on the 0 hour pre-show, a unification of the AEW Trios Championship with the Ring of Honor 6-man tag championships. We got the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn going against the Bang Bang Gang of Jay White, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn.
I am fine with this whole feud and storyline just being completely done. We didn't talk about the Billy Gunn, Jay White match a little bit ago. Was insane. Like, get these guys away from each other, you know, consolidate the belts, fine, get them into something else, because they were all hot acts and they've been in this feud for what feels like 6 months. You know, let's move on.
Move on.
Yeah, I think one of AEW's problems right now is they will strike when someone is kind of heating up and on fire, but they just there hasn't been the best cases of sustaining that heat so far. I don't know. It's just insane that Jay White, one of the top stars of New Japan, is being beat up by Billy Gunn.
Yeah, like, look at the Wardlow thing. Like, you know, Wardlow was really heating up for a while. And you can put some of that blame on MJF, you know, because that whole situation distracted from that match. And that was supposed to be, like, Wardlow's big crowning thing. But, like, yeah, I feel like it's been rare that they've been able to really strike while it's hot. I think that, like, you know, Paige is a guy they tried to work with for a long time. It's like the big baby face. And he is a guy I think they have, during the whole, like, Swerve feud and everything, I think they've turned him like weird tweener heel in a good way. I like this character evolution of Paige, but yeah, you just never know how much confidence they have in them pulling it off.
Yeah. And you know, as I'm saying, they weren't able to sustain that momentum. A couple other examples pop up in my head, but we don't need to talk about that right now. Next, we have Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe against the House of Black.
They need to stop doing the fucking lights off thing. Because it has no fucking impact whatsoever anymore. It's not even accompanied by a sound or something cool. It's just the lights are off. It comes on and it's Julia Hart or someone standing in a ring. They've done it a billion fucking times. Every time it happens, I'm like, it's like, there's other tricks. There's other ways to introduce people into the ring. We don't have to do the Undertaker teleport every fucking time. That's my House of Bland. House of Bland.
Dan shoots hard on the House of Black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a House Rules match? Is it the one where they did the light gimmicks and all that?
No, I don't think this is a House Rules match. I think it's interesting that Julia Hart is one of the better things to come out of this whole House of Black storyline/stable.
She's improved a lot, yeah.
Improved a whole lot. I don't know. Give this one to Adam Copeland and friends.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
For the FTW Championship, we have Hook defending against Chris Jericho rules match.
Have Hook win, move on.
Please let Hook win.
Yes, just.
I want this to be a squash match.
Yeah, Hook just suplexes the hell out of him. Yeah,
that would be great.
Yeah, chokes him out.
Go ahead.
Was that picture of Chris Jericho with Marjorie Taylor Greene real?
I have not seen it, but I'm going to say probably.
Okay. They were on a date holding hands in New Orleans.
Huh.
Oh.
I don't know about that.
Right. That's why I was like.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I have not seen the photo.
Okay, I'll see if I can find it for you guys. But it's like, I don't know if it's real because it looks kind of like Chris Jericho, but I can't tell.
Where do we stand on Chris Jericho right now?
I never really liked Chris Jericho ever. Oh. I was a WCW guy, and even then I was like, something about him doesn't work for me. But I think recently I'm like, I'm happy to not think about him right now, and I kind of want him to just kind of fade into the background is where I'm at with him.
I liked late 90s conspiracy theorist Jericho when it was the character.
Sure.
I liked early AEW kind of bubbly Jericho super heel.
Right.
And I think it pretty quickly wore off.
Yeah, I have not really enjoyed Jericho's direction for the past 2 years. I will enjoy Jericho here and there. I also think he's very good at swerving me when I think he's going to continue his podcast, but it's now an ad about meat.
Oh, he's good at that. Yeah,
Yeah. We're good at that. Okay. I forgot that this was a championship belt at AEW, but for the AEW International Championship, we have Roderick Strong defending against Kyle O'Reilly.
That'll be a good wrestling match. Absolutely.
It'll be a good match. I feel bad for Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly because Adam Cole is out of the picture. Who knows if Bobby Fish is going to be anywhere near AEW or any wrestling right now. Yeah, this will be a good match at least.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. These big pay-per-views, like, they always tend to deliver, like, you know, bell to bell.
Yeah, totally. Next,
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
For the TBS Championship, Julia Hart defending against Willow Nightingale, and this is a House Rules match.
Got it. Okay. I think you definitely do Willow, and then she faces Mercedes at Double or Nothing, which, by the way, the Mercedes stuff. Oh, boy. It is not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she's doing this. She brought that writer over from WWE, and she's just doing the same super scripted WWE style promos that feel extremely rehearsed. And God, every time it's like, tonight we'll hear from Mercedes Moné. It's just, it's fucking terrible. And what's the new thing she was trying to get over in the last promo? It's like, there's a price to pay when you mess with Moné. Like, nothing she ever says into a microphone feels convincing. Like, when she's in the ring, she's one of the absolute best. She's a fucking 100%. Killer wrestler. But, oh, man, to just bring her in and have her do promos for 2 months, it's like, that is the exact opposite of what I think most fans want from her.
Like, I feel Tony could have just gone to Boston a different time and really have this capitalized off of the moment, but I think it's another example of, like, all right, cool, we got this new toy to play with. We're not going to play with this correctly.
Right. We don't know how to use it, and we're not going to learn.
I mean, and that's the thing is, like, I think Ospreay is working because he's just such an undeniable talent. But, like, you're building this dream match with Ospreay and Danielson, and to waste out, whether it was whoever's idea it was, because it sounds like it was, you know, Will's to shoot on, you know, the Triple H with that promo. It's not doing anything to build. Like, you could be using that time to build to that Danielson match. That is a legitimate dream match.
Yeah.
It's going to be a killer fucking match on Sunday. Don't do this petty internet shit. Like, he's right. Talking about something Triple H said on a Pat McAfee show in the middle of a WrestleMania media blitz. Like, how many fucking people heard that anyway? Like, don't waste time on your television program.
I didn't hear about it until Will Ospreay brought it up.
Yeah.
I think AEW needs to just be less online.
They all do. It's what I'm learning over the last couple of weeks with all this stuff is they all need to just step back.
Yep. Yeah. And like, I don't know. I was a big fan of Mercedes Moné when she was at Sasha Banks in WWE. Really fantastic ring work, like you said, Dan, but, like, never the strongest on the mic. And I think, like, it's just hurting the character at this point to keep trying to get these promos over. And I'm still not sure what her character is because
she's rich. She likes money.
She's
that's
money,
it.
Right?
That's yeah, it. That's what it is. She likes money.
Okay. I also like money.
Yeah. It'd be cool if her character was like, no, literally, she is made out of money. Like, that would be cool. They
right? Like a Sandman and Spider-Man type of thing,
yes.
Right?
Exactly. Oh, okay. She's made out of dollar bills.
Yeah, she turns into coins if you hit her too hard.
Oh, my God. They should do that.
Uh-huh.
They should do that. Like, someone pins her and she turns into coins. next for this is another title belt that I forgot existed. The AEW Continental Championship.
Is that still three belts melded into one, or is that its own thing? They got split off?
Who the hell knows? Dude, I don't.
So many belts.
Kazuchika Okada. So I probably said that wrong. I'm sorry. I just always say Okada. Yeah. Defending against Pac.
That's going to be fucking awesome.
That's going to be a good time. Yes.
I don't know why they're fighting, really. I don't remember what the storyline is going up, but just give me that match. That's going to kick
ass. I guess
it's
going to be a great, good match, and I think Okada's going to, of course, come out, right? Because I think they want to make him look awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
I still wish Okada had decided to go with WWE. It makes sense for him to go to AEW because being able to, like, live where he wants to, work the schedule he wants to, he's friends with the Bucks.
It's just there are certain characters that make more sense in WWE. I mean, I think you look at Jade, and you look at, like, you know, she's not suddenly Bryan Danielson in the ring, but like WWE knows how to fucking present someone. They know how to accentuate positives and hide negatives. They have an actual, like, good training system set up to improve her in the ring. So, like, I think Okada, with that WrestleMania entrance style production, with the whole WWE machine behind him, you can make him feel so big and important versus, like, he's friends with the Bucks, you know?
Yeah. And I just worry about, okay, well, after we get over this hump of him being friends with the Bucks, what is next for Okada? And I just don't want him to fall into the same thing of, all right, well, now Billy Gunn is going to beat you up for
yeah,
like a month.
Yeah, it's a guy who has good wrestling matches. Like, they got a lot of them in AEW, you know?
Yeah, that's all of them. They undoubtedly have better wrestling on their program. It's just...
In general, yeah.
If that's all I'm getting, it's just hard to keep caring about all these different people.
Right.
Next, for the AEW Tag Championships, the Young Bucks, Matthew Jackson and Nicholas Jackson versus FTR in a ladder match.
It'll be good.
It'll be good.
It's always good. It's always good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's the Bucks. It's FTR. FTR yeah. is another, or specifically Dax Shepard, or Dax Harwood is a person I just wish would just stop talking online.
Just everyone put your phones away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just put your phones away.
Yeah.
Put firearms away.
Come out in a Bart
Simpson
shirt and shoot. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think Bucks probably still win that one because of Okada. I think kind of that makes sense. That
yeah.
It all kind of have that stuff going at the same time and try to feel like a powerful faction of sorts, I suppose. Yeah.
Was FTR in like MJF's like devil group?
The Pinnacle. Wait, no. So the anti MJF one, because there was the Pinnacle, which was MJF's team.
Right.
And then later there was the Immaculate, the Undisputed Kingdom, which was never FTR. That was the Kingdom and Cole and Wardlow.
Oh boy.
God, that was like months of television, like main event television. And granted, injuries didn't help it, but.
Sure,
ooh,
sure, sure.
Boy, that is about the worst. Well, there have been a lot of really bad feuds in wrestling, like main event feuds that have had fizzle out endings, but this one was real rough.
That being said, I really hope that Adam Cole just stays healthy. Like, the nicest man in all of wrestling just seems to have a poor time in his time in AEW, health-wise.
Agreed.
Next.
Oh, you were thinking of the Firm, Chad said. Oh, I forgot about the firm. Oh, shit.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They were the dudes that, like, oh, yeah, came out and had him win the poker chip or whatever.
God. It's
Stokely.
It's all melding together.
Stokely.
Oh, right. Stokely. Okay. Yeah. Right, right, right. And there's no more best friends now. Okay. Next, for the AEW Women's World Championship, we have Timeless Toni Storm defending against Thunder Rosa.
Good
match. I think she's going to go to Tony. I think Thunder Rosa has not been the same since she returned. Hasn't had the same level of like prestige about her, I'll say.
Yeah.
Excitement.
I would love to see Tony hold onto the belt until Wembley and maybe have Jamie Hayter come back and win it there.
Oh, that'd be really neat.
That makes more sense, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like that.
There's a chance. I think there's a chance that Thunder Rosa wins it, but I don't think it's a big one.
Yeah, I could see them building up a thing with custody over Mariah May, and then you have like a little Mina Shirakawa mini feud, and then, Jamie Hayter. God.
Yep.
Is Jamie Hayter like reported to be like back soon or something? Or?
I mean, she's just been gone a long time, so people are thinking like, is she better now? Like, is she?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So many people get hurt.
Wrestling is tough on your body.
Yeah, seems.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Maybe if they drank more Prime, though.
Like, that's it. Oh, they're just hydrated. Yes.
They're not allowed to do that at AEW.
No,
that's
it's just
problem.
Mushroom drinks.
Yeah.
Next, we have the dream match of Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson. Of course, this is going to be an amazing wrestling match.
Yeah,
this one, we all win, right? This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, what I was saying earlier about, like, oh, use that TV time to build the feud, at the end of the day, when the bell rings, I'm not going to really care. It's just like, let these guys wrestle. Let them go. Give them 40 minutes, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Where do we think Bryan Danielson is at with his career? Is he, like, slowing down? Is he trying to do his farewell tour right now?
Yeah, bucket list, final year of a bunch of big, crazy, high impact matches. And then I think he said he could see himself doing a couple matches a year going forward. But like, I think this is the last time we're going to see him on like every pay-per-view, like having these dream matches.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly where I think it is. It's like bucket list this year and then 2 to 3 matches in the future. And then maybe to a point where it's like one big match a year. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to that point.
And finally, closing out the card for the AEW World Championship, we have Samoa Joe defending against Swerve Strickland.
Should be a good match. I think you could probably crown Swerve here.
Yeah. Yeah. I really love Swerve, but I want Joe to keep the belt. I don't know who goes against Joe after this.
Is there like
Osprey?
Yeah. Is there a way to keep the can this feud grow more? Could like Swerve keep coming back at Samoa Joe a couple more times?
I mean, we already had the triple threat with him and Hangman, right. So it's like it's been going for a while. I think okay. You got to pull the trigger or not here, you know.
Okay, yeah, because I always love when like oh will they? And it's like, oh we just missed out. Like that is my favorite thing. It's like and then when they finally cash in, it really feels like okay, it finally happened. But this is the moment to do that. Okay, yeah. I hope Swerve wins.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Prince Nana celebrate.
Oh God, yeah.
God, he's gonna like break his hips.
How much his elbow
sway back and forth. Yeah, I'm excited for the card because regardless of whether or not I'm invested in any of these feuds or storylines, we will have very, very good wrestling happening. Yes.
I don't follow the stories always with AEW, and I usually end up watching the pay-per-views, and every single time, I never regret it. Yep. I always enjoy those shows. They do a great job with the wrestling on those pay-per-views.
Yeah, yep. Trying to think back about these miscellaneous stables and groups, I just don't remember any of them. But hey, to each their own when it comes to wrestling. And folks, that does it for this episode of the Power Bombcast. Once again, thank you for joining us in the Wrestling Containment Zone. It is oddly enough, a squared circle as it is. Mm-hmm. And folks, as you're listening to this right now, this will still live on the Giant Bomb Presents feed. We will get the Power Bombcast feed, a separate feed, entirely up and running. Until then, we're gonna be doing this more frequently, on a more frequent basis. Hot tagging the BCR and tagging back in Power Bombcast every other week as we see fit with the Power Bombcast. Because, you know, we already talk about wrestling. Let's have a dedicated show about it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah,
and if there's something fun you want us to talk about, something a fun topic we could tackle, it won't always just be discussion about what just happened. Sometimes we'll get in there, we'll have some topics to discuss or little games to play. So if there's anything you want to see, let us know. We're going to keep this show fun and flexible.
Send us your worst wrestling shirts that you've seen.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been thinking about doing a ranking of sorts, and hey, maybe we can get my best friend Bill Apter on the show.
We mm-hmm. should bring Apter in. Him and Tripod together again.
Tripod. I've been telling everyone about you.
I bet he would do it.
I think
oh, sure.
Would. I think he would.
For Tripod?
Yeah.
For me? Yeah.
And save his
friend.
Life.
Yeah. Folks, I've been Jan. He's been Jeff. He's been Dan. And you have been beautiful. We'll see you next week for a whole nother week of programming on GiantBomb.com.
It's not going to work for me, brother.
While the outro music's playing, Jeff Grubb, how much money do you think Samantha Irvin could get if she went on Cameo?
Oh, many, many, many dollars. Yeah. Many dollars.
Just like it catered, like,
walking to the ring for Game S Mornings. It is Jeff.
I would seriously think she could charge $500 for to have me. Yeah, oh, I would pop. Easily pay $500 to have her say that, so I could use it whenever I wanted to. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
but hey, how much to have that emotion in the middle where she's like coming to tears? That's double.
Oh, that's priceless. Okay. That's more than double. Yeah, like yeah. God, that was so, she ruled. She was maybe the best part of the entire thing.
She's awesome. She's
awesome. Also can play the flute. We'll see you next week.